program. So we need everybody to please face towards the drums.
No coronavirus.
So you can keep eating and drinking. I'm Barbara Reimer. I'm the dean of the Gilling School, and I am so glad to see you tonight. We're going to talk very briefly because we know that what you really want is to hang out with each other, and we're not going to get in the way, but we want to say a few things, and I want to introduce you to a few people. But the first thing I want to do is just really welcome you and thank you for taking time to be here. I want to thank the students and the faculty and Felicia Kelly right here, who's done a lot of work. And I want to thank Matthew Chamberlain, who is our director of communication, and he's helped to corral the speakers and to figure things out, make sure we don't say exactly the same thing. Matthew has been a great addition to this school. We hope that what happens. We hope that what happens tonight will mark the beginning of a new collaboration with you all. We hope that alumni who we're so glad are here will start coming back to the school, will give us advice, you know, will tell us about their experiences. So I'm going to speak for a few minutes and then introduce our new vice dean to you, and hopefully you'll seek her out tonight. And then I'm going to say a few more things, and we're going to introduce a couple special people. So our new vice dean, who I am so excited about, is Dr. Taya Jackson-Scott. She started with us in January, and already I feel like I don't know how we ever lived without her. That's a good sign when you feel that way. We are so glad that she is part of Gilling's. And she brings wisdom, strategy, experience, compassion, calm and common sense, and that is a great combination. She's had an impressive academic career, most recently at the Morehouse School of Medicine, where she was chief administrative officer, chief of staff in the office of the president and dean, executive director to Title III administration, and interim vice president of marketing and communications. She's handled a lot of different things, so I know she can handle Gilling.
Thank you, Barbara. And thank you for allowing me to have one job. So I want to say good evening to everyone and welcome. As Barbara mentioned, I am very pleased to be here. It is an honor to meet each of you and understand your story as we move this health, equity, and inclusive excellence along. I've only been here a short time, about 30 days to be exact, and I know what Gilling's is all about, because at Morehouse School of Medicine, the mission was leading the creation and advancement for health equity. And I think that that's embodied here in spirit in this room, and the stories that you all have told me about your experiences here. And it's all about personalized care and how we affect the communities in which we work. And that means that it doesn't, one size doesn't fit all, that it's not a one-off, that we each bring value to this place that we call Gilling's and that we love. And so all of you in this room, I believe, we live that every day. And we show how our actions make a significant impact when we engage and reconnect. So, let's re-engage. I'm looking forward to meeting each of you, and I want to know how I can support you and how I can move what we do along, which is local is global for us, and we do that very good every day, and it's wonderful for us to be here to fellowship. So I want to leave you with a partial quote that is often mistaken for something that Nelson Mandela said, and Marianne Williamson actually said it. Our deepest fear is that we are not inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. So as we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates us. So thank you for your presence here today.
Oh,
Okay. Thank you, and I think I'm one of the many people who have misquoted that. So I want to just say a few words, talk for a couple minutes about the school and try to give some context to where we are today. And then I will introduce you to our new Assistant Dean for Inclusive Excellence, and she will introduce Stephanie Baker, one of our alumni that we're so glad to have here tonight. So I speak to you, this is not going to be a shock to you, as a white woman. To be honest, I'm not hurting myself. And to be honest, I speak to you as an older white woman. That's obvious, but sometimes the obvious has to be stated. So I realize that my race makes me privileged in many ways. I can't stand in the shoes of underrepresented minority men and women, but I can empathize, I can persuade, I can create policies so the school is a place where everyone thrives, and I can hire the right people. And I think we're hiring the right people, and they are making a difference in the school. It's a work in progress. It's never going to be perfect, but it can be better, and not just incrementally better. I'm really excited about some of the new people that we've hired, and we have three new underrepresented minority faculty who will be starting this summer. Colleen Cipriani is helping us to make sure that there are many more faculty, staff, and students of color. I think we want to have the humility to take feedback and to use that to improve the school. So I hope that you will sign on to give us some of that feedback, because we can't do it alone. We really need you to work with us and to be partners with us. You could help us get where we need to be faster than we could do it alone. To move forward to a better future, we have to examine our past. Chapel Hill's history is intertwined with the history of the state, the South, and the U.S. In a recent book, Wilmington's Lie, about Wilmington North. Has anybody read it?
Yes.
It's really, it's amazing, isn't it? It's really a bother to read. So the book is about the period around 1898, and the author recounts how white supremacists overthrew the mixed-race government of what was then the largest city in the state, the capital of the state. There was a 56% majority of African Americans at that time in Wilmington. They were a thriving middle class. But the gains that followed emancipation were erased in a violent coup and massacre of black government and business leaders and citizens. At least 60 people were shot in the streets. Prominent blacks and sympathetic whites were banished from the city, and hundreds of black families took refuge in surrounding swamps and forests. This deplorable incident and campaign halted gains that were made after the Civil War and restored racism as official government policy, cementing white rule for another half century. It wasn't a race riot as it was billed, but rather a racially motivated rebellion launched by white supremacists. So in the book, one reads many names that were associated with that event. And I was really disheartened to see that many of them are people that are still, their families are still running media in this state, politics, and many of those names were associated with our university, and I am not proud of that. As the new century approached, Jim Crow took hold, and placement of the Confederate statue, which brings us to this, back to the present, at UNC Chapel Hill in 1913, was only one expression of that hateful period, but it became an enduring symbol seared into the experiences of generations of UNC students, including many of you. The history and events around Silent Sam have cast a long shadow that was not erased when the statue was taken down in August 2018. And I think for many people on campus, the climate, the UNC system, the North Carolina legislature, and some of the things that have happened in our own school have made many feel that the statue is there, even though it can't be seen anymore. The agreement crafted in secret by the Board of Governors with the sons of Confederate veterans was a betrayal, not just of Black lives that matter, but of this university and all we stand for. So since Judge Alan Boudour overturned the settlement as a result of a lawsuit, by many courageous people, including some in this room, we once again may allow ourselves to hope that the right things will be done. I appreciate the work of students, faculty, and others who have spoken up. As a dean, I'm working within the larger university and at Gillings to reconcile the past and create a better future. I'm proud that our students and faculty and staff have been on the right side of these issues, and several have served or are serving on key committees making recommendations for the future. I've spoken in the way that I think really befits public health, trying to make the point that health inequities persist to this day, partly because of the Jim Crow era, and the statue was a representation of that era. We have a new chancellor who I think has heard the messages and deserves a chance to do the right thing, but he can't do it alone. So despite what we are doing to transcend the past, I know that some of your experiences at Gillings were not what we would have wanted. They were not what you would have wanted. And we cannot undo the past, but we can make a better future. And if there are things that you want to talk to us about, if there are things you want to share, if you want to give us advice, make recommendations, we are going to listen. We want to make the school a better and better place. And you can seek out me, you can seek out Colleen, Matthew, Kurt Ribisol, who is really committed to equity, Charlita Sims-Evans, our Associate Dean for Students, Trinette Cooper, Coordinator of Diversity, Laura Linnan, Senior Associate Dean for Academic and Student Affairs, and others who you trust in the school. So partly because of intense debates and confrontations on campus, we developed a process internally for grappling with our own issues, and it was very fortunate that around that time we had recruited Colleen Cipriani to join Gillings as Assistant Dean for Inclusive Excellence. And she began making a difference her first week. And this is her anniversary week, because she started the week at the conference. It's really amazing. And she's been working with faculty, staff, alumni, and others to develop an inclusive, excellent action plan. It's a plan that is guiding us to become more diverse and inclusive. And I think she's really helping us move forward. So Colleen was trained in the basic sciences. She spent most of her prior career at Purdue University, where she became the chief diversity leader for the College of Veterinary Medicine. She's creative, knowledgeable, highly skilled in her field, charismatic, determined, and unafraid. And I am so glad she joined Gillings. Please welcome Colleen.
Thank you, Dean Rima. I don't know about unafraid. Okay, good evening, everyone. Thank you for coming. Thank you for spending part of your evening with us. As Dean Rima mentioned, this month marks my second year as Assistant Dean for Inclusive Excellence. And it has been a whirlwind of productive and impressive changes with an energetic and committed Gillings community. Sorry. There are many things that rose up from under the long shadow cast by the Confederate statue, and some of them are good. Our Inclusive Excellence Action Plan is one of those good things. In January 2019, we asked our Gillings community to help us with our mission towards increasing inclusive excellence, regardless of the future of the statue. Our faculty, staff, and students rose to the challenge, launching a highly accelerated strategic planning process, resulting in an action plan that you can easily access with a Google search of Gillings Inclusive Excellence Action Plan. But we will also share the website after this event. This plan has 5 recommendations that we are actively working on. The first is a requirement that all faculty, staff, and TAs participate in mandatory inclusive excellence training, which includes an anti-racism component. Next,
There are recommendations around increasing racial equity training and social justice education in the curriculum for all students, not just the health behavior students.
Students in the health equity concentration.
Okay. Back to my prepared remarks. Okay. And we're gonna start that training with orientation. Another recommendation in the plan is communicating more effectively about our inclusive excellence efforts, becoming more effective student advocates, especially around issues that may more adversely affect our underrepresented students. And finally, reinvigorating and elevating our commitment to recruiting and retaining underrepresented faculty, staff, and students. Along with this action plan, we restructured the previous Gillings Diversity and Inclusion Task Force. Some of you may know it, some of you served on it. And it is now the new Inclusive Excellence Council. The council consists of faculty, staff, and students, and is advisory to the dean on all things inclusive excellence, and is charged with monitoring the direction and progress of the action plan. So, all this movement and activity meant that we needed more hands on deck. So Yesenia Marino, an alumna, PhD, Health Behavior 2019, was hired last fall as our Director of Inclusive Excellence Education and Training. She's in the room with us, she waved. She changed my life. Thank you, Yesenia, for everything you're doing for inclusive excellence at Gillings. As a testament to Gillings' proven commitment to inclusive excellence, we received a 2019 Insight into Diversity Health Profession Higher Education Excellence in Diversity, or HEED Award. The HEED Award is a coveted national award recognizing academic institutions with outstanding commitments to diversity and inclusion. UNC Gillings was one of only two schools of public health to win this award in 2019, and 2019 was the first year any school of public health received it.
Wow.
Feel free to applaud. It's a testament to all of our work in this area. Our HEED application certainly included the iconic Minority Health Conference, which many of us will attend the 41st annual conference tomorrow. But also highlighted the rapid growth and expansion at Gillings within inclusive excellence over the past 6 years ago, really starting with the hiring of Ms. Trinette Cooper, for many of you. Yep, hands for Trinette. So Gillings deserved, but we will also continue to live up to this HEED Award. I want to reiterate what Dean Reimer stated in her remarks about wanting to hear from you, our alumni. If you have any suggestions, questions, or experiences you want us to know and consider as we move our inclusive excellence agenda forward, please share with us. You can chat with us tonight, or you can leave one of these colored note cards in one of these black boxes that will be on the in the room next door on the tables. Feel free to be anonymous, but if you would like one of us to do follow-up, please leave your name and contact info on the back or somewhere on your index card. Even if you are hesitant to provide your name, it would be extremely helpful if you fill out the card that matches your category. So we have four categories: faculty, staff, student, or alumni. So your input is vital to our success, as Dean Reimer said. We want to do everything we can to make sure that we get this right moving forward. Now, Gillings is an educational institution, so you will not be surprised to learn that there is some homework. Not too much homework, though. If you haven't already, we would love for you to read the Inclusive Excellence Action Plan and help us determine the best ways to incorporate alumni engagement. We acknowledge that there is currently a gap there. We will send a post-event survey soon and to help facilitate collecting this feedback. We want all your Carolina Blue ideas, suggestions, and energy so that we can keep moving onward and upward in terms of inclusive excellence. I look forward to seeing what your very intelligent, Gillings-educated minds will contribute to our plan, and I am thanking you in advance for your help. At this point, I'm going to turn the mic over to Dr. Stephanie Baker, PhD, Health Behavior 2013. Come on, come help me get my jaw, thank you, Stephanie. And who will provide us with some closing remarks? Dr. Baker.
Thank you. I'm a little under the weather, so my voice is slightly deeper than normal. Not trying to be funny. But good evening to all. It's so great to see everybody here tonight, gathered together in this room. And I just want to start with sharing a quotation from one of my mentors who often tells me, "We must be critical lovers of our institutions." This was a fundamental lesson I learned and embraced as I delved into the world of racial equity organizing. And I learned the lesson after participating in an activity where we analyzed, criticized, and diced up the criminal justice system. And that, for me, was a pretty easy task. You know, in the era of Mike Brown and Tamir Rice and Rekia Boyd, it was simple for me to identify problems in a system that I really had no deep-rooted connections to. But after that activity, we were asked to reflect on what problems impact and get in the way of racial equity in our own systems. And while I understood the gist of the activity, my default response was to get defensive and to make excuses. And as I began to think more deeply about my own systems, those of public health and academia, I actually just wanted to run away and find something new to do. Because, you know, why do this type of critical work when there must be some other system that gets it better, that does it better? But that's the structural and systemic nature of racism in our society, that it is rooted in every single system. There's no escaping it. So I embraced the fundamental lesson and committed myself to be a critical lover of my institutions, including the Gillings School of Global Public Health. The number one public school of public health. How many times have you heard that? And you don't get that type of ranking for doing nothing, right? I can honestly say that my experience in the doctoral program was fruitful for me. I developed lifelong relationships with colleagues and my cohort. My training prepared me to be successful in every career endeavor that I had after I graduated. I worked with amazing students and staff to put on the Minority Health Conference, and I feel for you students. It's hard. It's a lot of work, and we don't get paid to do it, but it's magical at the same time. It's incredibly magical. And during my time, I would meet some of my dearest mentors who would impact the very public health professional I was developing into. So Dr. Bill Jenkins, who's no longer with us. Now I'm gonna calm down.
Thank you,
Doctors Diane Rowley and Vijaya Hogan, Vic Schoenbach, and Jeannie. Jeannie was the first one to tell me to go to a racial equity training, and I kind of looked at her crazy. Asian women coming to go to the racial equity training. But that was really, really fundamental to my shift in perspective on the work that I was doing. While I was here, I got to meet Dr. Kamara Phyllis Jones when she came to speak in a class I was TAing in, and I got to drive her to the airport. To have that time with her was really significant for me. So the name of this institution has opened up doors and opportunities that I'm truly grateful for. And despite all of these wonderful things that led me to love this place, it is also not above my critique. In fact, it needs my critique. It needs our critique. It needs our voices, the voices of people who've come to love this place for our own individual reasons, some more than others. And in light of the challenges that we may have experienced during our time here. So over the years, I found my own unique ways of providing constructive feedback, raising questions and concerns, sending angry text messages to Charlita and Trinette. Charlita always calls me back. She's like, "Why am I texting this? Can you talk?" early in the morning sometimes too. Those are fun conversations. And also just trying to help to be a part of solutions. And I was thrilled to be on the search committee for the Assistant Dean of Inclusive Excellence position, and even more thrilled that Dr. Colleen, where'd she go? Cipriani accepted the offer and is here today leading really significant and transformational change. So let's give it up for her. And every time I see her, I'm like, are you okay? You okay? You know, because one of the things that the committee wanted to make sure is that we weren't bringing her here in isolation. And so it really is encouraging to see Yesenia coming on board and to see Dr. Jackson Scott coming on board. That is a commitment that I think many of us who were here, while I was here, just didn't really imagine what happened. So it's really, really to be celebrated. So, you know, I know that Gillings is an amazing place to be, and I know that it can be an even more amazing and equitable place than it is today. So I look forward to engaging with all of you as we continue on this journey together. Thank you so much.
Yeah. So please enjoy the food, enjoy each other, and give us loving criticism, and we will and we want to work with you. Thank you. And go do your homework.